This is Behind the Brush by St. Jack.
Don't try to be somebody else. Like, it's fine to look up to people or to be inspired people, but don't try to be them. Put your own twist on things, your own style on things, and people will appreciate that much more than you trying to be something that you're not.
Hello and welcome back to Behind the Brush. It's me, it's Beth, your host, makeup artist, and founder of St. Jack, and do I have a treat for you. Today's guest is Laura Hahua, better known as the Ballerina Bride MUA. I discovered Laura on Instagram last year and have since then, I've become her number one fan. Literally, she says it in this episode, so it must be true. Her work is exquisite. I am obsessed with it. She has so much range, but she is really known for intricate, colorful, blended to perfection eye looks and perfect skin. Now, if you aren't familiar with her work, I really do encourage you to just pause this episode and go onto her Instagram so that you can see it, so that it will contextualize a lot of the points that we talk about. Her Instagram handle is at the Ballerina Bride MUA. And honestly, sis, you should be following her anyway. She's that good. I love Laura's story because her journey to makeup artistry was actually very similar to mine in that it was not linear, guys. Like me, she worked a 9-to-5 job and she did that for years while also freelancing on the weekends before, you know, circumstances changed. And eventually she was presented with the choice to really commit full time. In this chat, we're going to talk about everything from breaking the rules when it comes to makeup styles, being featured on James Charles's YouTube channel, and most importantly, being true to yourself. I really hope you love this episode, guys, but that's enough from me. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Laura Hahua, aka the Ballerina Bride MUA. Laura, welcome to Behind the Brush.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you so, so much for making the time for me today, all the way from sunny Queensland.
Not today.
Not today.
It's very raining today.
We must have got some of your vibes in that case because it was meant to be raining today and we've got some sun. So that's
it's all come
nice.
Up here.
So excited to chat to you. I've got so much that I want to talk to you about. I've been looking forward to this for ages, but we'll get started with the simplest question potentially.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What did you want to be when you grew up?
I wanted to be a journalist.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I've always loved writing. I've always loved English. And I just figured that was pretty much the only job that you could do, you know, where you were writing all the time. So that's what I started off with.
And so did you study journalism at uni or anything?
I did. I have been to 4 different unis, never finished anything. And 3 of those, I did some form of journalism. Yes.
Wow. Yeah, I always love finding that out because it's always so different to what we end up doing.
It is. Yeah. It's just, I was always really good at English at school and I love like the English language and I love like spelling and grammar and all that kind of stuff. And so I just thought that would be where I ended up. But actually doing it at uni compared to the idea of it was just completely different. So,
as is so often the case.
Yes, definitely.
So in that case, how did you discover makeup? When did that discovery happen for you?
So I was at my, I'm going to say 4th uni, possibly, doing interior design. And I just had a friend that was in my course and she got me a job working for Revlon and just kind of started from there.
So before the job at Revlon, you weren't like a makeup addict or anything like that?
No, never. I barely wore it. I was never something that I kind of thought I'm going to do that. I was always really arty at school. So I did a lot of painting, a lot of drawing, all that kind of thing. So I always tell people it just kind of stems from that. It's just a different medium, a different canvas. But yeah, it was never on my radar. Never.
How old were you then when you started working at Revlon?
I would have been, I'm going to say 20.
20, okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, still very fresh. bright eyes going into the world to do everything. So I suppose then if you weren't really interested in makeup too much, you were more focused on the retail side of things. Because I don't know what it would have been like at Revlon, for example, if you know that somebody's worked at MAC, they're doing makeup on clients and things like that. So was this more transactional, or did you get that opportunity to have interaction with clients?
Yeah, a little bit of both. It was a casual job. You know, I was there kind of Thursday nights, Saturdays, Sundays, if I ever kind of turned up after, you know, being 20 and going out the night before. But yeah, it wasn't a huge like hands-on kind of doing a lot of clients or anything like that. It was mostly just about the products.
Did they offer you any sort of training in artistry while you were there, or are you really self-taught?
I'm completely self-taught, so I've not done any training whatsoever. I've had training like in the brand's products, but no actual training.
That is phenomenal. Just knowing the intricacy of what it is that you do like now, that's amazing. And also very inspiring that you don't have to do it. You don't have to go do the courses.
You really don't. Back then, this was the time when Napoleon was like the place to work, and you had to do the Napoleon course to, you know, work with Napoleon and all that kind of stuff. And I never did any of that. And now it's like I've never had a single person ask me for a qualification or to see a qualification. Like, it's not what it's about. You don't need it.
No, I couldn't agree more. I mean, and I've spoken to so many different artists about it, and everyone seems to have their own opinion. I think it's also so grounded in what their experience is.
Yes.
But
yeah,
you're absolutely right. I have also never had a client say,
never,
show me a certificate.
No, never.
So we've talked about your journey a little bit, and in your own words, you said, I got shitty with retail.
Yes.
And you went into a completely random industry, which is so funny to me, because anyone playing at home, this will make no sense to you guys, but you were working in insurance and I worked in insurance for 7 years as well before I did any makeup artistry. So I feel like very cosmically connected to you on that level.
And we're both cancers.
And we're both cancerians. I mean, look, if I end up being able to do the kind of work that you do, I feel like I'll be really happy with that. But it is so different. It is so different. It is very, I don't even know if corporate's the right word, but like the word that comes to my mind is dry.
Yeah, it's just very kind of routine and regimented, and same thing day in, day out. Like that's a Monday to 100%. Friday, which is what I wanted by that point, because, you know, I'd been through the retail, I'd been through Napoleon and Inglot and all those places, and was sick of, you know, wasting my Saturdays and wasting my weekends working for a retail company that don't care about the actual artist. It's just about selling products. So by that point, I just wanted a 9-to-5, Monday to Friday kind of thing, which allowed me to kind of do a little bit of freelance on the side.
Let's talk about that. So you freelance a little bit while you had this job, and you worked there for around 7 years.
5 years, yep.
5 years, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
I'm using my own timeline. You're 7 years. Apologies.
Different people.
Don't worry. I deliberately stayed long enough in my job to get my long service leave before I left.
You were smart.
So you were freelancing on the side. So tell me about how you got started doing that, because this was a while ago. This was before, you know, the days of, you know, you'd be able to look up hashtag Brisbane makeup artist on Instagram to find a makeup artist if you're a client. So how did you start building up that clientele?
To be honest, I didn't do a lot of it. It wasn't something that I was going out of my way to advertise for. It was just basically people that knew that I did makeup would then ask me to do it, and then friends of theirs. It was basically word of mouth. I wasn't going out of my way to advertise for people. It wasn't like I was trying to build a business or anything like that. It was just kind of for fun on the side at that point.
And a little bit of nice extra cash money.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I got to keep my toes in the water and like just, yeah, keep doing it occasionally. It wasn't like I was losing all my skills or anything like that. So, but it definitely wasn't like anything I was taking hugely seriously.
Tell me more about when you did start taking it seriously. So I think I know around 2013, you've had your first baby.
Yeah.
You started the Instagram page, The Ballerina Bride.
Yep.
You're working with a friend of yours. So how did that all kind of come to be?
When I had my first daughter, I was still working in insurance and I got maternity leave from there. And so I knew at that point I wasn't going to be going back there. After my maternity leave, I wasn't going to be going back. We had moved to be closer to my mum because my husband worked away, so to get a bit of help. So I knew I wasn't going to be going back to doing an office job. And so I just decided one day to be like, I'm just going to put everything into this and take it seriously. I roped my best friend into doing it with me. We met at Inglot a long time ago and we came up with it together.
Amazing. It's quite odd, I suppose, now to imagine, you know, two people running an Instagram account together, but talk me through the whole idea of what the Ballerina Bride was, because I think in those early days, I've scrolled all the way back down to the bottom. It was a brand, like the two of you together was a brand. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah. So we were focused solely on weddings. That's all we were doing. My friend worked another job as well. So we knew that it was always just going to be weekend work. And yeah, it just kind of started from there. We started that as a wedding service, as a bridal service.
Right. And what was it that made you want to focus solely on bridal? Was it because of the weekend thing and weddings happen on the weekends?
Yeah. And at that point, I remember thinking that was pretty much the only clientele that there was really for freelance artists like that. It was a completely different time to now. People didn't really get their makeup done just for the hell of it or for an event, that kind of thing. It was basically all that people got it done for.
And so we've talked about it and you said eventually your friend just said, look, I don't want to do this anymore. How long were you doing it together?
With her, we were doing it for probably 3 to 4 years. And in that time, like that was my only job. That was all I was doing, obviously raising a child and having another one in the meantime as well. And then, yeah, she had a child around the same time I had my second one. And she was also still working this other job. So, you know, it was too much for her. She kind of lost the passion for it. And I had to decide whether I was going to keep going myself. And we worked really well together because she's very businessy and I'm very not businessy. I just like the creative side. And we worked well together because we brought different elements to it. And so I had to decide then, you know, am I going to be able to take all of that on and completely do it myself? And I did doubt it for a little bit, but we just did it and haven't looked back.
So then I do want to kind of skip forward to last year, because I know stylistically for you, but also just in terms of, you know, your profile, things really started kicking off last year. But what about that kind of gap between your mate moving on and then COVID happening? What was the focus there for you? Now that this is your only job and you've decided to go all in, what kind of work were you doing? What were you enjoying?
So then it was still a lot of bridal work, but that's when I kind of wanted to start expanding into other things like formals and, you know, just other event kind of work. I remember it was around that time that I had found Mitchell on Instagram. I had found Stacey Marie and their work just like blew my mind. I hadn't seen anything like that here. It was completely different to what I was doing bridal. I was using brown palettes all the time. That was it. I don't think I even owned a color palette at that point. And it inspired me so much just to kind of do something different. So I just started playing around with that and started getting, you know, some girls into model for me so I could practice that and just work at that kind of side of things. And yeah, it just kind of started from there.
Yeah. So you were bringing models in to sit for you so that you could kind of have that, I guess, creative exploration and you really activate that part of your talent while also your paid work stayed the very neutrals, bronzy. Yeah. Okay. You're actually so talented at both. So you've spent years and years kind of doing, for lack of a better term, commercial bridal makeup, that sort of thing. And then COVID happens. And, you know, when I went back through your Instagram, you can start to see the shift away in the grid from the neutrals and that bronzy, glowy gorgeousness.
Yep.
Talk to me about how this shift came about. So you're inspired by others, which is obviously amazing, but you just seem to, by the looks of it, you just went all in.
Yeah, it was that first kind of lockdown that we had. I had all these kind of cancelled events, postponed events, you know, everything. And I was at home with my kids every day. And I just sat down with my makeup every day and just started doing it on myself, which before then you wouldn't have seen any pictures of me on Instagram. There would have been none on there because I didn't like putting them up of myself. I preferred to use models or clients. So yeah, I had my own face, I had my own makeup. So I just kind of sat down and just started every single day. I did a new look every day and, you know, just started playing around with shapes and different styles and textures, and everything just kind of developed from there.
And I mean, it's so beautiful. I'm going to encourage anyone who hasn't had a look at your Instagram, or if they happen to not follow you or have seen your work, to go have a look at it now and come back, because it's not just the shapes. It's not just the colors. It's these, like, I don't know what the correct word would be, like the 3D, like,
I don't even know something. The right word for
who,
it.
You know what? Who fucking knows? I have no idea. But basically, old mate Laura goes on to like, has like nail art 3D things, and she uses them in the most phenomenal ways. You really do. Like, it's just so beautiful. It's like 10 times better than like the gem stuff that we saw during the Euphoria.
Yeah.
It's like next level. So like, I mean, how did you even think to start doing that?
I think I started with just like little stars and things, pretty generic kind of stuff. And then I just wanted to see what else I could stick on my face. And I know those 3D butterflies, they were a mistake. They started up, like, I ordered them. I thought they were going to be much smaller than what they were, and they weren't. I was like, oh, I'm never going to use them. And then one day just stuck them on, and hey, like, now I'm just like, what else is there?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So it kind of just kept like getting more and more and more and bigger, because your confidence, I'm sure. Yeah. It was escalating beyond control, because your confidence was growing, but also so was your following and your community and your audience. People were really resonating with that, right?
Yeah. It grew quite quickly from, I think, when we started that lockdown, I had about 3,000 viewers. Yeah.
I didn't know that. So you've just celebrated, 30,000.
30.3 today. So
From
3 to 30.3. There you go. Yeah.
From 3 to 30.3 in the age where we know that Instagram growth is next to impossible.
It's astounding. Horrible at the moment. Yeah. It was just a lot of that growth was last year. Like, this year has definitely slowed down a lot because it's just, I don't know what it's doing, but yeah, just really happened quite quickly.
I mean, I feel like this is the perfect segue for me to bring up the James Charles thing.
Yeah.
Because I thought this had happened last year, and it only happened a few months ago, which just goes to show how long I've been stuck inside in Melbourne.
Literally, but time, just like, you don't know what's happening with it at the moment. It's crazy.
I have no concept of time, not at all, like not at all. So
yeah,
everyone's got their own opinion about James Charles, and like, let's not get into Dramageddon or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I mean, for anyone playing along at home who doesn't know, he took a break from YouTube at some point this year. And then when he came back, he did like a video where he's like sitting down to do my makeup. And, you know, it was his first video back, so I was going to get a lot of eyeballs on it. And then halfway through, he pulls up Ballerina Bride MUA Instagram, and he's like, I'm going to do my look based on this. Like, what was that experience like?
That was just crazy. Like, because obviously time difference and things, I was asleep and I woke up in the morning, and like, I literally go on my phone straight away every morning. And I went on there and I just had like some random DMs. And I'm like, okay, don't know what these are. And then I just like read a couple of them, and it's like, oh, I know you've probably got like a lot of DMs. I've come from James. I'm like, who's James? Like, what are you talking about? And then it just kind of like, as I slowly started to wake up, I slowly started piecing it together. And yeah, I was just like, oh, okay then. Like, that was just crazy to me.
So did he ever reach out to you? Does he follow you? Like what happened?
He doesn't follow me. I don't follow him. Never have done, which is awkward. But look, we won't get into opinions of him, but I didn't follow him. He didn't follow me. He did message me and we just had like a bit of a chat and stuff. And he said that he was, you know, a bit scared about tagging me and stuff because he didn't want me to get hate. But I'm like, mate,
you
know, you got to tag me. Like, I'd rather you tag me and I get hate than,
Did you get any hate?
No, like, I think I had a couple of people going like, like imagine supporting James Charles or whatever. I'm like, mate, I don't follow him, blah, blah, blah. Like the magnitude of that hasn't really hit me. Like, you know, I have clients come and sit in my chair and be like, oh my God, James Charles did this and blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, that was crazy. But then like you actually sit down and think about it and you're like, so for that to have happened, I had to have come up on his Explore page and, you know, he had to look at that and be like, oh, I like that. I'm going to recreate that or whatever. Like it is full on like that happened.
At the very least, it is an incredible compliment and, you know, tribute, I suppose, to what you do that's as far as it was getting, even on the Explore page in California, like to know that would happening would be enough for me.
I know.
It's just wild how it works sometimes. But so fascinated because I want to talk about your Instagram is like one of my favorite Instagrams in the world. you know me, sis. I love all of your photos.
I'm the number one fan.
Yeah, I'm the number one fan. I'm always like first comment, first like, save, share. And it's all so beautiful, right? And I love wearing colored makeup. I love wearing strong looks. I'm a very girly girl. I would love to wear the makeup that you have and you show on your feed. Mm-hmm. But I think that on your stories, you also share a lot of makeup that you do, like your client work is not as colorful as that. It's not as creative as that.
Yep.
How do you think it is and how has it worked for you that your Instagram is kind of one thing and that your client work is still a variation of that, but much more subtle? Like, how do you think it is that people know that what you can do creatively translates into something wearable?
From what I've been taught, because when I started posting these kind of looks, I was very aware that, you know, my previous clientele had been mostly bridal and, you know, this will probably scare a few people off. I was very aware of that, but I was prepared for it. And what I have heard the most is that people say to me, if you can do that kind of stuff, we know you'll be fine with, you know, general bridal. If you can do that, you're going to be able to do natural bridal kind of stuff. So that's one kind of angle of it. And the other one is I do post randomly throughout my feed, you know, just a general client glam. But I love doing the colorful stuff. And I've always been of the opinion that you'll get booked for what you post. And so if I'm posting that kind of stuff, that's what people are going to book me for. And that's 100% what happens. Like next year or even towards the end of this year and next year, like I hardly have any weddings booked in. And that's fine by me because all of the work that I'm getting is in studio and it's all the stuff that I love doing. Like it's crazy.
I
never thought that people would want that or that, you know, I'd be able to make that my sole income of doing these kind of colorful glam looks.
It's really inspiring that you have, especially because I think, and this is just coming from someone who lives in Melbourne, so this is completely outsider's perspective. And even it's often the case in Melbourne as well, and maybe the country, I don't know, but a lot of our makeup style can be very similar.
Yep.
And I know in Queensland, it's very much, again, that bronzy, glowy, just stuff up the beach, like textured hair, soft, beautiful. Were you ever worried about isolating yourself from that kind of makeup, knowing that that's like what the e-com brands want, that that's what sells up there? Did you care?
No, never. I never worried about it. I never cared that I wasn't doing that kind of stuff because that wasn't the stuff that I wanted to do. If I did want to do it, I would do it. I would start posting more of that, but that's not what I'm about. Like, I love being creative. I love that my clients come to me and like are able to have that on their face. Like, they love that they can actually get that on their face because a lot of people that do the kind of work that I do, it's solely for Instagram. It's solely on themselves and they're just posting it and that's it. It's not on clients. People don't go out wearing it. I feel like by kind of saying I didn't want to do all that natural kind of stuff, it's made me create my own kind of niche, which is a little bit kind of untapped. So when people do want that, they come to me. And because I'm the only one that really kind of does that kind of stuff, not the only one, but, you know, I get a lot of clients that way rather than doing the weddings and the e-commerce and all that kind of stuff.
I'm a big believer in you attract the clients that you kind of want to, if that makes sense. What you put out there is what you're going to get back, right? Yep. And that makes a lot of sense to me and I love that. I think, though, that takes a certain level of confidence, balls, courage to be like, like that's what I'm going to do. Where does that come from for you? Like, what is your feeling on confidence as an artist in general?
I'm very confident. I've been working with makeup for about 15 years. And, you know, throughout this last formal week, I've had the same conversation with a few people. And like, I've never done special effects or anything like that. I don't know how to do that. But I just don't think anybody could bring me a look anymore that I would be worried about doing or think that I couldn't do. I've just developed all of these kind of techniques and things. And because I've developed them myself, like I haven't been taught them, like I'm really confident in them because I've just worked it out myself. And I had a guy actually the other day contact me wanting a goth white face, black eye kind of look. This was on Halloween. So I was like, okay, yeah, sweet. It's Halloween, blah, blah, blah. And then we were just talking, chatting about it. He's like, it's for my wedding. And I was like, oh.
To each their own.
Exactly. But I was just like, I'm not confident doing this because I don't know how the products that I use are going to wear for a wedding with this kind of makeup. Like Halloween, it would have been fine. But for a wedding, I was like, the longevity of it, I cannot guarantee that. So yeah, did not end up doing that one.
Yeah, wow.
But I feel like having confidence in yourself is a huge, huge part of being a makeup artist. And, you know, admitting that there are going to be times that you will make mistakes or it's not going to be exactly as you wanted, but having the tools and the knowledge to rectify that and fix it. And that is also with confidence as well. Like you can't be scared of that. You just have to know that that can happen and yeah, be willing to do anything you can to fix it.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, there have definitely been looks before where I'm like, ooh, can I do that? But it's never been on that level.
Yeah. Like there's always going to be things that challenge you and there are always things that you can do with your eyes closed, but that's part of the fun of it. I think like the variation and the different clients that you get, the different faces and different skin tones and skin types. So it's all part of the fun. Like nothing's ever exactly the same.
And is that part of the reason why you chose to open the studio?
That was just like a set of circumstances that it kind of needed to happen. Like I said before, I was doing a lot of bridal stuff. So I was traveling to most clients. I would only really have trials at home and then I would travel for weddings. And then as my style started to change, more people started to come to me and I was working from home and I didn't have a specific room. I've only got a lounge room here and I've got two kids running around and a husband. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of, it needed to happen. It was always planned on happening probably next year when my youngest starts school. But yeah, it just needed to happen a little bit earlier.
Yeah. And it's absolutely beautiful space in Brisbane called Blend. And you opened it a few months ago now.
Yeah, in July.
Yeah. So I think, look, oftentimes with things like that, people can look in from the outside and they see that you're opening a studio and you've got your own space and you're absolutely killing it and you don't have any challenges and things are really breezy. Mm. But that's rarely the case, you know? It's like more money, more problems, more space, more problems, more overheads, more problems.
100%.
So was there anything, I mean, it hasn't been open for long, but since it has been open and you've been working out of there, you just had a huge week smashing out formal girls.
Yep.
What have been some of the unexpected challenges of having your own spot?
One of them, not so unexpected, but I kind of used to do a lot of content from home. So whether that was on myself or on a model, and now pretty much everything has moved into the studio. I have a travel kit, but so anytime I kind of want to do any form of makeup, I have to go over there. And it's a 20-minute drive. It's not too bad. But, you know, that's just one little thing where if I had some spare time before at home, a couple of hours, I would just sit down and start playing and that kind of thing. So I can't really do that anymore. It has to be a bit more deliberate. Another one is we have a neighbor from hell next to our studio. So we've got that little challenge to deal with. But in terms of actual makeup work, like obviously the cost going from home with no overheads to a retail space is huge. It will be quite challenging, I think, next month for me, because I know that January is usually quite quiet. So, you know, to cover costs of rent and all that kind of stuff, that's probably going to be more of a challenge. But up until now, it's not been bad. It's been actually really good just having that space and having an actual designated workspace, because it is hard when you're a makeup artist and you're working from home. It's hard to separate that. So it's great to be able to close the door at home, open the door at the studio, and it's, you know, completely separate.
I've done some of your online masterclasses? Mm-hmm. Are you looking to do maybe some in-person stuff like at the studio lessons? Like what else do you want to do with it?
Yeah. So that was always the plan. Like I said before, when my daughter starts school, I know that I'll have a lot more kind of weekday availability. So it was always the plan to kind of, start teaching a little bit more, start doing more one-on-one lessons and developing that kind of thing. I've had one in studio masterclass, which was really cool. So I definitely want to start doing a few more of those.
You've got such an amazing, unique style. I can't think of another place where I could get that kind of education right now. Yeah. So it's just amazing.
Yeah. And that's what I think I really want to teach people. It's not, you know, about making money or anything like that. It's the fact that my style is quite specific. And for that kind of style, you need to kind of know the right products and the right way to use them. And like people would get disheartened if they kind of start it and, you know, it's not working for them. And I've kind of worked all of that out. I've done all of that work. So I can tell people now how to do it. Like I've figured out what works with what and how to layer things and what products work well layering and all those kind of things. So I want to be able to tell people how to do that and teach them how to do it themselves.
Part of the reason why I'm so personally inspired by you and your work is, again, is because it's so authentically your own. I don't see you trying to replicate someone. I don't see you trying to kind of like fit into a prescribed box of what the makeup style should be, which I love.
Yeah, that was always a huge risk, I think. But the thing is, I'm not calculated in any way. I never sat down and thought, I'm going to create this style that, you know, is really hard to replicate or that's not like anybody else or anything like that. It was never, never like that at all. I just sat down and wanted to play with colors and different products, and it just kind of evolved, and that's all it was. It's never been something where I've been like, I'm going to do this, this, and this. Like, I'm not very good with goals and stuff like that. So it was never like, I'm going to have this by this point and this by this point. It's just, naturally evolving. That's all it is.
Yeah. I mean, for somebody who's not very good with goals, you're very good at smashing them.
Smashing goals that I didn't have.
Smashing goals that you didn't even set. But I mean, look, this is something that I just need to get like your wisdom on, because like for me, when I want to be creative, because, you know, often I'll do the same kind of makeup on most clients, right? And I'll do bridal and it always ends up kind of being the same. And you've been there, you've done that, right? So it's like, but when I want to get creative, if I want to sit down with a palette, it's like sometimes I can get stuck in my own head and I like, I worry, oh my God, am I going to stuff this up? Or I can't blend it like that. Or like, it's not going to turn out. Like, what wisdom do you have for other artists? Especially I want you to talk to young people about embracing creativity.
I think just remove the pressure. Don't put the pressure on yourself. Like if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And that's not a big deal, especially if you are playing around on your own face. Like there's no pressure there. Like if something doesn't work, you wipe it off or you start again, or you can keep going. You keep going and see what comes out of it. Because often, you know, that is the best time to create something new. Just remove the pressure from yourself and just kind of let it flow. Be inspired by things that are around you. Like I often find myself seeing things out in public and say, oh, those colors look really cool together. And I'll take a picture of whatever it is and just remember it so I don't forget. Like there's inspiration everywhere, but also there's a lot of inspiration in products themselves. So I'll sit down and be like, this palette. Like, I want to do something with this palette and I'll just see what happens with it. Like, a lot of the time I have no plan. We've established I have no goals. I just sit down and I just start and just see what happens. And the thing is, yeah, just if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, and that's okay.
Yeah, for sure. Knowing what you know now, mm-hmm. having done the conventional kind of wedding style for years and years and years, you've done it, like you've paid your dues.
Yeah.
And now you get to work on clients who let you flex that creative muscle. Mm. Having done all of that, what is the one piece of advice you could give to somebody just starting out, or even the younger version of yourself when you were going through this path? Is there anything you would do differently? Like, what's one thing you feel would help somebody in their journey?
I think it sounds so cliche, but to be true to yourself, don't try to be somebody else. Like, it's fine to look up to people or to be inspired people, but don't try to be them. Put your own twist on things, your own style on things, and people will appreciate that much more than you trying to be something that you're not. Like, just try to stay true to your own kind of style. I think it never kind of plays off well when you downright copy someone, for sure, but when you're just trying to be something that probably doesn't come as naturally to you, go with what is natural to you and it'll flourish much, much more than, you know, something that you're trying to make yourself be, if that makes sense.
It definitely does. And it resonates with me. I think, yes, the more you can be true to yourself and not worry about how something might even perform on Instagram or anything 100%. Like that. It's so hard these days, I feel, especially for younger players coming in or new players coming in, to really worry about those numbers.
It's really tough. Even mine, like, you know, I'm not going to pretend I don't care about numbers, because I do. Like, I check to see how posts are performing, and the way it has been lately is just ridiculous. But if you're doing it solely for that, then you're doing it for the wrong reasons. You know, like, I don't let that bother me because I love doing it. Instagram is just an extension. It's just somewhere I can show what I'm doing, but it doesn't affect the way that I do it or why I do it.
I love it.
Yeah. Instagram is crazy. It's changed so much over the last kind of year or so.
And you're getting in the TikTok game now, I see.
Oh, man, I hate TikTok. Like,
you do?
Oh, I hate it. I feel like it's just so much effort for no reward, with me anyway. Like, I have a big following on Instagram, so I'd much rather focus on that, where I know that people are actually going to, well, actually, no, that doesn't work, because half the time they don't see it. But TikTok, I put in so much effort and I get like 100 views. And so I'm like, but yeah.
Which
I spend a lot of time on there.
I know, it's not enough views for the work that you're doing, but also if it makes you feel any better, TikTok views are across the board down at the moment.
Okay.
So even
I'm
videos
just waiting to go viral one day. One day.
You're going to go viral one day. I have absolutely no doubt.
It'll be the worst
thing
as well. It'll be like the worst, but it'll go viral. I don't know. I love TikTok. Like, I love watching TikTok. I just hate making them.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. You know what? That's actually something really common that I hear all the time. It's like, you know, it's fun. I just like don't want to have to do it, and I don't want to have to film it. And it's just crazy. Like, when you think about, okay, your job as a makeup artist, that's your like talent, that's your skill. Mm. And then all this extra stuff you have to do to make the business of it work.
Yep. And I find that when I do sit down and I'm like, okay, I'm going to film a TikTok, I'm going to do a step-by-step, that kind of thing, and I start filming, those are always the looks that just never turn out. I'm like, okay, cool. I just filmed one that is shit. So
because you're like too worried about the what's the video going to look like, rather than kind of just enjoying trusting the process, which is what I'm really picking up.
It's 100% of trusting the process. I tell people this all the time. If I have mothers that are coming in and watching their formal daughter's makeup being done, and I'm like, it's a hot mess for 90% of the time. And then we'll all come together for that last 10%.
Always. I hate having people watch me. I even hate having my clients look in a mirror. And I'm like, just don't. Yeah. Like, if you haven't seen how it works before, just don't look, because you'll be happy in the end.
Yeah. I don't sit them in front of a mirror. There's mirrors on either side and I can see if they're trying to have a look, but no, I don't sit them in front of the mirror. It's not pretty.
Nah, that's naughty. So we'll wrap up in a sec, but I'm just really curious to know, vaccines are here, borders are opening internationally, nationally. You know, I could even come to Queensland maybe and you can finally paint my face.
Let's do it.
But let's do it. But what's next for you? Because on the outside, it seems like you've just created this amazing space for the work that you want to do. Like you've just nailed it. So is there anything, I know you don't really have the goals.
Look,
is there anything left that you want to do?
Like I said, I naturally evolve. It's just we'll have to wait and see.
Oh.
I want to start teaching a bit more this coming year. I always wanted to have a studio, which I now have, and I don't think too far ahead in the future because it's just not the way my brain works. My husband hates it. I'm not organized. I'm not prepared. But, you know, it's just the way I am.
Hey, it's going to be how it's going to be. Okay.
I know, you can't force it.
No. And you know what? I think, again, I mean, we've already talked about you having a level of self-confidence. It's really admirable. There's a confidence that comes with knowing that you're very comfortable just smashing what you're doing for now and knowing when that natural evolution happens that you can tackle that too.
Yeah, I think that's something, it comes with time. Like I've been doing this for 15 years. Don't expect to do a course and work with clients straight away and be like, yeah, I got this. It's going to be tough. Like it will be.
Yeah.
You will have clients that make you cry. Like that is just something that occasionally happens. And when that happens, you just have to remember the 100 other ones that are amazed with what you've done for them. There's always going to be people that you're not going to please, and that's okay. So you've just got to trust in yourself.
Please numero uno first and the rest will fall into place.
Exactly. Yeah. If you love what you do, then other people will see that through your work and that's what they'll want to book you for.
Completely agree. Well, I think I've used up just about enough of your time. But before we go, we're going to play a quick game of this or that because it's my favorite thing.
So much fun.
Laura, are you ready?
I am ready.
Amazing. Cocktails or champagne?
Cocktails.
Chocolate or cheese?
Chocolate.
Same. Adele or Beyonce?
Adele.
Same. Bronzer or highlighter?
Highlighter because I'm a pasty bitch. I just embrace the pastiness and I just highlight what I got. Like, yeah.
Oh, we like to be highlighted and blinding, visible from space. We work with what we got.
Thank you so much. We love the skin we're in.
Exactly.
Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. In the unlikely event that people don't follow you, where can they find you?
So I'm on Instagram at the Ballerina Bride MUA. Same on TikTok, but don't look at me there. I'm crap.
Your views are never going to get higher since if you don't start telling people to get on your TikTok.
Don't follow her on TikTok.
She's amazing. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ciao. I hope that you guys enjoyed that chat as much as I did. When I came across Laura's work last year, I hadn't known, you know, the whole kind of career she had before the gems, before the color, before the butterflies. And getting to know her more, particularly after, you know, I started St. Jack and was in contact with her, it's phenomenal to me to be able to track that growth. And the number one thing that I love is that she's always stayed true to herself and hasn't cared what anyone else thought. She didn't care what her clients thought on the weekends if she had a full-time job and she freelanced on the side as a little side hustle. She didn't care, you know, what people thought when she started posting looks that were really out there, stunning, but out there compared to what she'd been posting years earlier, because that was the direction that she wanted to go in. And I find that so inspiring. And actually, it's only episode 3, but this is a recurring theme, you guys. Being authentic to yourself, being true to yourself, doing what you want to do. That is when you really shine. There are so many little pearls of wisdom in that episode, but I do want to share my top 2 takeaways just for you to have a think about. Number 1, the work you put out is the work you attract. So by that, I mean, Laura wasn't worried to post pictures of her style as it continued to change when she started exploring with the colors and the gems and the butterflies. Oh my God, the butterflies. I love it so much. You know, in fact, when she started exploring that style and refining it and the photos were getting more and more intricate and beautiful, she gained almost 30,000 followers. And if that isn't your hint that being authentic to yourself and being true to yourself is a good idea, I do not know what is. So she's now sought after for that kind of makeup. So she created her own niche. So if you feel like your makeup style doesn't fit what else you see in the feed, that might be a good thing. That might be your unique special power, or what they would call in marketing, your unique selling point, your USP. Be you. It's awesome. You're awesome. Number two, want to get creative? Take the pressure out. For example, sometimes I'd be all, yeah, I want to play with color and I want to do this and I'm going out on Saturday night, so I'll do it on Saturday afternoon. Never a good idea, because if I make a mistake, I'm going to be late to see my friends and I'm going to feel like crap because my makeup didn't work out for whatever reason. No, I have the best time playing with makeup when I have to be nowhere. I don't have to do anything for anyone, with anyone. I've just given myself that physical space and that time to create. We're artists, we're meant to create. So whether you're doing it on yourself, whether you find a friend who's into it, or even just get a model for a few hours. And look, do not be afraid to make mistakes, because at the end of the day, it's just makeup, sis. It comes off and you can always try again. But that's it from me. If you enjoyed this episode, you already know what I'm going to say, but I think, you know, it's a podcast law that I have to say this. Please subscribe. And please jump over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a review. I know it's a pain if you listen on Spotify, but it will only take you like 2 minutes, and every single review helps this podcast get into more ears and it helps all of us be better artists together. So isn't that a good thing? But until then, you can find me on Instagram if you want to, at By St. Jack, that's at BY St. Jack, or at BethWilson_MUA. I was about to say, hey, this week I remembered my own Instagram handle, but I mispronounced it, at BethWilson_MUA. Love ya. Bye.